Hey, welcome to The Weekend. It's time for Group Chat, the place where everyone comes together to talk all things pop culture, whether it's music.
Yeah, Beyonce has 11 nominations.
I think that's aggressive.
including album of the year.
I am happy that she is getting some play.
Mm-hmm. Movies and TV.
In comedy, like, we had memes, we had GIFs, we had people being Rickrolled, we had That's What She Said, we had, you know, like, we had all that stuff. So I think it's also just
it's
where
like
we are in
part
time.
Part of the trend, yeah.
How do you know when to move on? How do you know when something's stale?
How long do we do Chuck Norris jokes for?
Or sports moments that have everyone talking.
If you're watching a television show and somebody's wearing a Bills jersey, like, they're going to notice that and zoom in on that Bills jersey and be like, I like this show, I like these characters. Somebody who doesn't really necessarily care about the Bills, or maybe they follow a different team, they're not going to see that, they're not going to have that same connection, because their perceptual ability is just, it's a different set of references.
Group Chat brings you all the pop culture action with sharp insight, fun debates, and a whole lot of laughter.
Coming up right after this.
Hello and welcome to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and we have such an awesome show for you today. In honor of Halloween, we are at the Great Pumpkin Farm in Clarence. Glenn White, who is a psychic medium, author, and paranormal investigator. Gretchen Squire, Public Relations Director of Western New York Pagan Pride, and SJ Velasquez, Director of Audio Strategy at Buffalo Toronto Public Media, with multiple master's degrees, one being in journalism, one being in death, religion, and culture. We're very excited because yesterday is Halloween, and in honor of that, we're taking the perfect opportunity to look back at where it all began. We'll trace how ancient traditions like Samhain evolved into today's Halloween rituals, and how modern paganism and witchcraft are shaping new forms of personal spirituality. Plus, we'll talk about how mediums, artists, and investigators are using intuition and storytelling to bridge the gap between belief and experience. What is our fascination with the supernatural, and what that says about the times we're living in, including where this all fits into pop culture. We're covering a lot today. But first, as we get to know each other, what is your role in your group chats? Now, whether it's texting or messaging, what are some of the themes going on right now?
You know, right now, one of the big topics that's going around is the newest Conjuring movie has come out. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of talk regarding Lorraine and Ed Warren. And then we also have the sale of their home that was sold to Matt Rife and Elton Castier.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What? Yes.
As well as the original Conjuring movie, that house in Rhode Island was supposed to go up for auction on Halloween due to back taxes, but has since, the note has been bought out and now it's up in limbo. But some of the ghost hunters are banding together to help with Jason Hawes from the original Ghost Hunters TV show to try to take over and become the owners of that house to open it up for more research.
So, Glenn, were you talking about these things in your chat because you were looking to buy one of these houses?
Oh, no. I visit many places and meet many people along my travels, and some of them that I have met, like, for an example, would be Andrea Perrin, which was one of the daughters of the original Conjuring story.
Wow.
So by meeting her, knowing her, I then see messages saying, hey, the house is going for auction. How can we save it? How can we keep it something that is accessible and open to everybody and not just those with the money to play?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this all works out. Esty, how about you?
I'm mostly sending people TikToks with like no context. That's kind of what I've turned into. I've been doing a lot of that. And we had talked a little bit about this. I've been sending a lot of clips from the CBC show Ghosting. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but it's really funny. They're ghost hunters, and they basically are just like flirting with ghosts and trying to like make out with ghosts and just saying really ridiculous things. So that's mostly me been sending videos of that.
Okay, well, I can't wait to dive into this more. I have so many questions. And how about you, Gretchen?
Well, this is the most wonderful time of the year for pagans and witches. So we've just been focusing on Halloween and getting ready for Samhain and planning rituals and pretty much wrapping up the year and getting ready for the next one.
I can't wait to talk about all this, man. This is going to be great. Starting with Halloween, with roots in Samhain, which started in Celtic culture in Ireland. Let's talk about Samhain and how Halloween began.
So in the ancient roots, our ancestors were more tied to the land and followed the cycles of nature. So Samhain was a time when we prepared for the darkness and the dark part of the year, and letting go and remembering those who have passed. And it has kind of made a little bit of a comeback in the recent years. And across cultures, people celebrate their ancestors and their passing, and it's kind of a way to make you closer to them and know that they're not really gone. Mm-hmm. They're still with you.
Is there a stronger connection to the afterlife? Is the veil thinner?
They say the veil is thinner. So between the worlds, our world and the world of those who have passed and spirits, it's just a little thinner so that you can easily communicate with them better.
So, Glenn, is this a busy time of year for you?
You know what? For years, it was. It was a very busy time of year. And I had gotten to the point where I purposely refrain this time of year. Because what happens is we get into a certain position to where we get the mindset of, we like the scary movies, we like the Halloween, we like the horror, we want to be scared. Well, now I heard something bump in my house. It's got to be a ghost. No. You have mice. It's cold outside.
You might have rats.
Right. You have mice. It's cold outside. It's just like the flies around are not demonic. They're flies. There's
are they, though?
Pumpkins
we're swarming with flies.
Right. But see, that's the thing is, for me, you get, it's almost like one of those where somebody gets so amped up that it's like, give it 5 minutes and then tell me how you feel. So once Halloween's over, now we're going to talk. Now, if there's something serious going on, by all means, of course, that's something different. But for the most part, everybody gets caught up in the holiday and everybody loves it.
But I have a question, though. Like, so Bentley was just saying, like, there's this, like, thinning of the veil.
Yes.
Do you experience that
medium? Yes. Yeah. What happens is you'll start to notice. Now, you had mentioned about asking me if I was looking into buying any of these houses. Why would I want to buy another haunted house? The one I have is haunted enough. You know what I mean? So
tell us more.
No. Okay, well, I have lights that turn on themselves. My closet light is notorious for it. About 2 weeks ago, my bathroom door was closed. I'm the only one home. Me, a dog, and a cat, okay? Bathroom door's closed, I'm sitting there, and I noticed the light turned on underneath the bathroom door. And I went, you gotta be freaking kidding me. So I get up and I open the door and look around and nobody's in there, nothing's in there. So I turn the light off, and really knock it off. But that is what I do, because part of one of the things that I fully believe in is the fact that the more you engage, the more you're going to get engagement back. So in my home, I don't mind you're here. My rule when I bought the house was, you don't mess with my kids or we have real problems. As long as there's no issue, I don't care if you bang around every now and then. Whatever.
One thing that Gretchen mentioned too, there is an honoring. And SJ, I know that you've done a lot of research on burials and honoring people that have passed. So I know one of the things I wanted to talk to you about too, in terms of this time of year, is what is considered respectful? What is considered, can we go to a cemetery out of respect? But what are the guidelines, or what should we be thinking about?
It's always changing. So the way we interact with cemeteries today is not the way our ancestors, if they were in the United States, were dealing with cemeteries 100 years ago. Victorian times, the cemetery was a place of gathering. It was like you'd go and have a picnic there. You'd set up, your whole family would come around. You might bring a ball around and hang out. You know, it's mm-hmm. time to spend with your loved ones who are not with us in this realm. And today there's a weird, like, that's kind of morphed. It's mm-hmm. it's a weird expectation that respect means like this stoic reverence, like you have to be serious about it.
Yeah.
That's changed today, and it's still changing. There are further changes locally and in the U.S. Like, I know Forest Lawn, they are changing the way they interact with the community. They want people coming in. They have tours, history tours. They have events. They want, you know, young people, children to come. So, yeah, it's evolving. Mm-hmm. And I think I had mentioned to you, like, I really want to start, like, a cemetery running club. But one of my concerns was that some people would interpret that as disrespectful. Even though my intention would be to do it in a respectful way, mm-hmm. where we'd quietly jog through and then talk about some of the residents, quote unquote.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Glenn White, Gretchen Squire, and SJ Velasquez. And, you know, along with that, Gretchen, I know there are a lot of pagan rituals and, you know, things to during this time of year and ways to honor the dead. Can you tell us a little bit about that and in what ways you do that this time of year?
In my personal practice, because everyone's practice is pretty much their own, which is a really big appeal of paganism, mm-hmm. anything goes and it's valid. Personally, I set up an ancestor altar in my house, and I do light candles, and we tell stories. Some people like to do a dumb supper, where they will set out a place setting and have dinner, and that will be for your loved one that's no longer here. I also am influenced by Mexican culture and Day of the Dead, and I do incorporate the marigolds, which is cempasúchil, and it's just one of those flowers that resonates with me, so I do use that in my practice too. And a lot of people will have, they'll do the whole make a circle, a magic circle, and call the different quarters. So you will go and go to the east and the west and the south and the north and honor the guardians of those directions and elements and call them in to be with you as well as your ancestors and honor them that way.
I just took my first pet ofrenda on the 27th.
Oh. Yeah. Explain this.
Gretchen was just talking about, like, the Mexican traditions and the altar. That's mm-hmm. called the ofrenda. Mm-hmm. And that's when you set up the photos, the orange flowers, okay. the candles, things that the deceased loved ones really loved. And it's, like, an opportunity to, like, light the path for them to return. And traditionally, the 27th of October is dedicated to your pets coming back.
Okay, so there is a specific date for pets.
So we had a little ofrenda for Peanut, the cat.
Aww. Yeah. Well, and, you know, the origins of Samhain, communities lit bonfires, honored ancestors, held rituals. And then, and that was that time of year. Now, how did we get to the Halloween of today?
I think it's the mystery of the unknown and just the fun of dressing up and kind of dispelling the fear that you have to be afraid of Halloween and death. It's kind of honoring life by looking at those who have passed. And, you know, they did use turnips for jack-o'-lanterns in the past, and now we do. So we still carve a gourd of some sort, pumpkins, and put them by our door, and kind of is a symbol of warding off evil and darkness and scaring away bad spirits.
So where do your traditions fall in this, Glenn, around Halloween? Do you just hide out? I know you mentioned that you kind of, you know, you stay away from maybe the job aspect of it.
I do. Well, because I spent so much time focusing there when Halloween is my favorite holiday.
Oh, okay.
But I'm always working and I'm always busy, so I never had the time to actually sit and enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. Now I get to. I watch the scary movies. I go to the haunted houses, you know, the Fright World, things like that. You know, I just soak it in and I enjoy it the best I can without trying to... I almost try to go back to a childlike mind state almost like with Christmas, because if I don't, I'm going to sit there and every movie I watch, I'm going, no, that's not even possible. No, why would you go to a graveyard or a cemetery to hunt ghosts? But, you know, why would most people want to go hang there? If they're going to come visit their family in spirit, why wouldn't they come to the places they love, that you loved together, things of that nature? So as far as honoring goes, you can honor them wherever you are. And if they're close, they will hear you. They will still feel you. You will feel them.
Yeah. And so this group of experts here, you still celebrate Halloween. You're not offended by any traditions.
Love it.
It seems like people are getting more into the roots of Halloween. And Gretchen probably knows more about that. Like, I don't know about you all, but my TikTok feed has been a lot of people really trying to learn more about paganism, about alternative modern religions and more ancient traditions and just ties to the earth.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a lot more. And my understanding, even in Ireland, is there's a reclamation of Samhain that's happening.
Yep.
Because they're like, America took it from us and made it something terrible, so we're going to kind of take it back and make it more authentic.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's happening.
Are you seeing more people joining Western New York Pagan Pride, Gretchen?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, pagans are a small percentage of the population anyway, but in the past 30 years, it has really risen. There were probably about 1.5 million people that identify as pagan in the recent years, whereas back in the 90s, it was only like 8,000. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's more appealing to people because it puts the divine inside of you, and you don't need a third party to go through.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that. Do you think the stigma has been lifted a little bit? Is there more education out there? Is that part of your role?
That's part of what we're trying to do, is dispel the myths that paganism is bad and that it's devil worship. We don't believe in a devil. That's a Christian thing. And it's just a way to honor the earth. And I think a lot of people, especially with the climate crisis, are reflecting on how they could be better custodians of the earth. And I think that's probably why it's appealing.
I am so excited to be talking to all of you, and we're going to continue this conversation as we are celebrating Halloween today and talking about the origins up next on Group Chat.
Introducing Local at 11, a space just for Buffalo Toronto Public Media's best original features, including What's Next, Group Chat, Skin in the Game, and more. Listen to Local at 11 Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR.
Welcome back to Group Chat. In honor of Halloween, we are at the Great Pumpkin Farm in Clarence, and we're joined by very special guests, Glenn White, Gretchen Squire, and SJ Velasquez, honoring the traditions of Halloween and all that is involved, and honoring the dead, maybe speaking with them, Glenn?
Yes.
Can you explain how you got into being a paranormal investigator and a medium, and is it a gift that you have? Is it something you can't deny?
Okay, so I'll take you back. I grew up in an extremely haunted house in the village of Hamburg, New York. At one point, things had flown across the room that I was standing in the middle of the day. So first of all, the belief that it happens at night isn't true.
How old were you? Were you a kid when this happened?
I was under the age of eight. I moved out of that house when I was eight. So this is probably about 6-7 years old I witnessed this. From there, though, it grew into a fascination because I wasn't in the situation where a lot of people my age were told, we don't talk about this. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. It's not real. Even if it is real, we don't talk about this. My mother was more the type of person that said, look, I'd prefer you keep it between those of us who live and come and visit the house, not talk about it in school and such, but you can tell me anything and I'm open. And she would. She would allow me to talk to her, and if the closet door swung shut on me, I could go and tell her. If I was having a night where something was bugging me and there were shadows in the room, I could scream for her and she'd come get me. So it grew out of a fear, actually. I was so afraid I had to find an answer. Yeah. How could things unseen throw a toy across the room? How is that even, you know? So the older I got, the more I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. I wanted to explore. And then I was told that you see them a lot because you're more open than others. You have, as some would refer to as the gift. I don't know that it's necessarily a gift. I also think that everybody has it to a certain degree.
So do children, is this a true, it's kind of out there that children are more susceptible to
completely.
Because they don't know to dismiss it?
Right, because think about it. You climbing on the jungle gym, when did you find out it was dangerous?
When you fell.
Either you fell or a grown-up ran to you saying, no, get down.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's dangerous.
Yeah.
But if you grow up in an environment that's a little more open to those things, mm-hmm. well, you'll find out it's dangerous when you fall, but that doesn't mean you won't climb on it again. It means you'll be careful in the way you climb on it again.
Mm-hmm.
But if I run at you and yell that it's dangerous, you're just going to back off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with children with like the paranormal. You know, it's one of those situations to where the more oh no, that's just movies, that's just TV, that's just whatever. And we don't give them the credit of, hey, maybe Uncle Bob did stop by and say hi.
did you by any chance grow up in like with any religious traditions?
I did.
And was that, how did those things mesh the reality that you were experiencing and the traditions you grew up with?
My grandfather was the assistant preacher at a Nazarene church in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And if the doors were open, he was inside of it. And I was his right arm, basically, as a kid. So that meant if the doors were open, I was in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of experience growing up with different religions. My grandfather, who actually witnessed stuff in the house, just wouldn't talk about it. We're not fully denying, but we're just not going to talk about it. He did have the house blessed or cleansed twice. Neither of them worked, actually. It made things worse.
Mm.
That's why it was only twice. My growing up was, like I said, my mother was, I'll listen to you. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to deny you on what you're saying or your experiences. My grandfather was a little more shut off on things because he was a preacher. This doesn't happen. This is my, you know, I don't allow this. But it was still there. So that's where, as much as religion tried to play a point in there,
yeah.
When I'm being told that the toy I watched, because I remember it vividly, that it was a Masters of the Universe toy that went off of a shelf across my bedroom wall. It hit the other wall and fell, and that was the last night I ever spent in that bedroom.
Oh, my gosh.
And you cannot tell me that that just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that never happened.
I experienced it.
You didn't see that. Yeah, that didn't go from one point to another.
And I'm sure you felt a sense of something. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, when it comes down to a point of the religious side of it, I was still being taught religion. I still was following and reading the Bible and things like that to learn about things. But in the same time, I'm having my experiences way over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, religion is still right here.
Yeah. So how does this roll into, these types of things roll into paganism?
For tens of thousands of years, we had a divine feminine that we worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
And with the advent of Christianity, it became more of a patriarchy. And then all of a sudden, all of the women who were wise and knew the cures and used herbs, and they were all of a sudden evil. And I think that's where the turning point was. But now we're trying to reclaim that, where we want to dispel all those myths that it isn't evil, it's just nature, and everyone is connected. We're all part of the same continuum, and everyone is connected.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, though, but knowledge and education of people using different herbs and things like that, that helped kind of out it so it wasn't so bad anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, in some cases, because they still vilified women who could take care of you if you were ill, or they would say, no, don't go to her, she's a witch.
Well, I'm saying progressively wise,
right,
though. Now,
right.
Nowadays, some of that education has kind of freed that, right?
Yes, yes, I think so.
But it wasn't an easy road.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I feel like just hearing about saging, for example, that went from witchcraft to I mean, it still is witchcraft. Yeah. It's just not a bad thing anymore. Yeah. In a lot of people's minds, it's like, oh, this is a tradition that is not just done among what we envision as like modern day pagans. Like, this is something that has been practiced by lots of cultures.
Yeah.
Just kind of at the same time, you know, in sync with each other. And there's got to be, you know, there's something to that when multiple cultures are doing something very similar to cleanse their home or a space. So,
yeah, the principles are all there in different ways. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Glenn White, Gretchen Squires, and SJ Velasquez. We are talking all things Halloween, but maybe in a not in a way that you've talked about them before, you know? a lot of the things that you see, like pumpkins, and which originated from Samhain and carving turnips, and, you know, witches. They have meaning behind them. And our goal is to honor that today, but also ask questions. You know, you're a psychic medium. Do you do tarot cards?
I do. Yes. Actually, I have a YouTube that I do Tarot Tuesday every Tuesday. It's just a real quick 3-minute reset your week, kind of see what kind of things you're going to be dealing with for the week. I was actually taught tarot cards by Raymond Buckland, which was considered one of the founding members to bring Wicca to the United States.
Wow.
And he was the one to teach me through a location, a haunted location that we both knew the owner and knew a lot of the charities that they worked with. We did a lot of the charity work, just not knowing or running into each other. So once we did, we connected and became friends quickly. And one day I asked him, because I had never used tarot, I said, how do I do this? And the first thing he told me was get a deck that you like. Go to the store, even Barnes & Noble, and find a deck of tarot cards that really jump at you. Something that catches your eye. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter to anybody else what catches your eye. I said, okay. He goes, and then you're going to open that, and chances are there's going to be a book there. And I'm going, oh, great. He's going to tell me to read the book that tells you this card means this, that card. He goes, no, you throw that in the trash. He goes, you throw that book in the trash and you never look at it again. Because just like we talk about different intuitions and things, and I say that everybody technically has a form of the gift, if you will, to communicate. Mother's intuition has that feeling to know when something's right.
Yeah.
So if what happens is I was taught that when I flip a card, and I'm sitting with somebody or I'm focusing on something, what's the first thing that catches my eye with that card and how does it relate to the person or the subject that I'm referring to? It doesn't matter. It could be, and I have used cards from the TV show Gravity Falls, Twilight Zone. I have made my own cards to use
that.
Because it's all about the intent. The intent is everything. What is your intent? My intent is to bring you good news. Let me flip a card. What's the first thing that catches my eye? And how does that relate?
Okay. Well, and as far as the pop culture representations, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, who hasn't watched The Craft? I know. To be a witch.
I know.
Or Practical Magic or one of those. Yeah. And they still hold true today. I mean, they're from the 90s. And people still love them. But even if you look at literature now, especially for young people, the YA literature is all witchy stories.
Yeah.
And we have so many more shops around town that appeal to people who just want a couple crystals, you know, get some herbs, light a candle. And I see people who don't know anything about paganism and they still ask questions and want to do the witchy thing.
Have you seen an increase with some of, like, as SJ was mentioning before, with the TikToks and...
Oh, witch talk.
Yeah, I'm witch deep talk. Into witch talk.
And once you like one, then they all start popping up.
I know.
Have you seen that as a good thing? Are there myths around... Are there some things that aren't... is there false information out there because of it? Or is it, do you think, helped?
I think, like anything, you have to know how to do your research and be aware that there are, especially with TikTok, anybody can put something up. And if you're not sure, check it out first. You know, go do your own research. But I think that, especially after COVID, people were so separated and couldn't meet in person, that really TikTok and social media has really cultivated a community where you couldn't meet in person, And now it's been growing.
Well, and even historically, you couldn't meet in person because, you know, you were afraid
danger,
to do anything outside of your home or even in your home, you know. So, well, we're coming back with more group chat. We are celebrating Halloween and broadcasting from the Great Pumpkin Farm in Clarence. So stick around.
Introducing Local at 11, a space just for Buffalo Toronto Public Media's best original features, including What's Next, Group Chat, Skin in the Game, and more. Listen to Local at 11 Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and we are at the Great Pumpkin Farm in Clarence in honor of Halloween. And we have special guests today, Glenn White, psychic medium and author and a paranormal investigator, Gretchen Squire, Public Relations Director of Western New York Pagan Pride, and S.J. Velasquez, Director of Audio Strategy at Buffalo Toronto Public Media with various degrees, obviously one in journalism, but also a master's degree in death, religion, and culture. So this group is definitely teaching me things, and I thought I knew everything about Halloween. and Gretchen, we were talking about new trends and TikTok and things like that. And when we talk about paganism, we talk about rituals. Now, I think there's a thing with paganism too, or with Wicca, that people think of spells.
Right.
So do you do spells? Can you explain them and maybe some misconceptions about spells?
So I think one of the biggest misconceptions is you just do, put some herbs, put some crystals, light a candle, and it's going to be done. But it's all about your intention and the meaning that you put behind it. It's the work you put in finding the right colors to symbolize what you want the outcome to be, choosing the correct herbs or even stones that you might resonate with. And you have to do the work. It's not just going to happen. And, you know, we've been doing spells as lay people forever. You know, you light your candles on your birthday cake, you make a wish, you blow it out. That's a spell right there. There are more intricate spells. One of the popular ones is a cord breaking, so or a cord cutting ceremony where you can cut ties with somebody, and it's all about using representation of two different candles and tying a string around them, lighting them, and picturing it falling away. And some are simple, some are more difficult, but you have to do the work too. So if you're trying to cut cords with someone, you're not going to call them.
Right. So is it manifesting what you want to happen?
Yes.
So in a relationship or... Mm-hmm. You want a promotion, so you have to do the work and put it out there, right?
Absolutely. Okay. That's the biggest part of it.
Yeah. There's no quick fixes.
No. Magic is just a tool. No quick fix.
So, SJ, with your studies, which I'm actually so impressed, you actually just graduated.
I did. I just went to Winchester, England, graduated at the Winchester Cathedral.
What drew you to this degree?
I've always been interested in death, like similar to Glenn, having like experiences young. Mm-hmm. I was around death pretty young. Like I was at a lot of funerals and wakes and stuff by the time I was 6-7 years old. And I was interested in it because when I'd asked my parents about it, they wouldn't give me all the answers, but they'd give me some answers. And I just felt like they were really bad answers. I needed to figure it out for myself if they were going to just lie to me. Or if they didn't know the answers, I was like, well, how am I going to trust these guys? Mm-hmm. So, I've always been interested in it. I've always wanted to know more. I think a lot of us are like that, but we're kind of told not to. Similar to, you know, mediumship or, you know, experiencing anything that is outside of the realm of what is acceptable within your culture or your circle. I wanted to know more, so I actually asked about it. And I started really getting into it. When I graduated from undergrad, I went to Canisius. I had a communications degree for the journalism side of things, but then I did religious studies, and I focused on death and like women's role in death. So that kind of started it. And then when I went to graduate school for journalism, I focused on religion reporting. I interned at Religion News Service, but I did an independent study with a man by the name of Gustav Niebuhr. He's a renowned religion reporter. He's since passed away. He's passed away a few years ago, but he did a lot of really amazing work at the New York Times, Washington Post, covering doomsday cults. So I worked with him doing work, kind of evaluating how doomsday cults were reported in the news. So Jim Jones and the People's Temple, Heaven's Gate, and how we report on death and religion. And that kind of sparked further interest and yeah. So now I'm a master of death.
You're educating. But I love some of the conversations we've gotten into outside of this show and just the respect that you have for the topic.
Oh,
and
yes.
That, you know, and I think that that was one of the things with doing this episode. Like, these traditions are based around religions. You know, like, as you mentioned, Glenn, there is, you know, there's a Catholic religion around All Saints Day. There's, you know, this time of year is...
Yeah.
These things are, they mean something to people.
They do.
You know, honoring the dead or honoring the earth, you know. Or so what are some of the things that you've come across that people do or different religions do this time of year that intrigue you?
I mean, I love trick-or-treating, mm-hmm. the idea of trick-or-treating in the United States, the way it has evolved, too. And as I understand it, that is also a reflection of Samhain activities, that what the lore that I was told, and Gretchen may know better than I do, but trick-or-treating also could have potentially started in Ireland with the idea of soul cakes, like exchanging, like... beggars essentially going to people's houses and saying, like, I'll pray for your dead loved ones, but you got to give me something in return. So that was kind of the trick or treat part. And they would bake soul cakes to give beggars. And then they'd get extra prayers for their loved ones who were coming in at a point when the veil was thinning. So I love that. I also love specifically in Buffalo, the tradition of Beggars Night. Is everybody familiar with Beggar's Night?
Or Devil's Night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had heard of that, but I hadn't... It's just this year I've heard about how big Buffalo celebrates it.
And the fact that it's called Beggar's Night in Buffalo. It's the night before Halloween. I don't think a lot of people outside of Buffalo know that we call it Beggar's Night. And I don't think a lot of people in the Western New York area know that only we call it Beggar's Night, that there's Devil's Night, there's Mischief Night, there are all these other names for it. But that was more of like a pop culture influence. I believe it was like decided upon by one of the major broadcast news stations. They said, like, oh, instead of going trick-or-treating on Halloween itself, go out on Halloween Eve. And some communities still officially recognize Beggar's Night.
Is it a South Buffalo tradition? Isn't there a big one in South Buffalo?
There's one.
Yeah.
In
Cheektowaga as well.
Yeah. There are some neighborhoods that still do it, and it's huge. But I love that.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm also thinking of with voodoo. When we were having these discussions, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
with voodoo being practiced, like so much of it being drawn from like hoodoo and African tradition, there's that extra element of disenfranchisement by the people practicing it. Mm-hmm. So it's like extra bad in the eyes of certain people. I think that came up a lot in Sinners too. I don't know if anybody else saw Sinners, but and that also gets into the cultural appreciation versus appropriation. Yes. I wondered a lot about that with paganism specifically, as you know, witch talk gets bigger, like
because there are a lot of Caucasian people who will have a hoodoo channel,
right.
And hoodoo is typically African American. It derives from slavery times, and they actually use the Bible and Psalms. It's very popular because they reclaimed that only book they were allowed to have and used it for their good. And hoodoo is basically folk magic, and it does have African roots, but when you see someone who is not of that heritage educating others about it, you have to be leery, because that is cultural appropriation. And I'm not saying that you can't use hoodoo, but go to the correct source. and learn from someone who has the roots and who has learned it from someone who knows about it.
Well, and, you know, a lot of the roots of voodoo were healing in medicine and, you know, cultures coming to this country. And, you know, so the disenfranchisement is, you know, such a major theme. And I think even now you see in media, you still see, you know, movies. So Coven, can we talk about Coven and some of these movies in pop culture?
I'm not
American
familiar.
Horror Story Coven.
Oh, American Horror Story Coven.
I watched a little bit of
it. I'll go watch it tonight. It
just,
Oh, yeah, you should. You should. It's definitely good. It's based in New Orleans. It's based in, like, the French Quarter and things like that. And there is a butler, male servant maid in the house, and he has tea parties with dolls. When my daughter and I went down to New Orleans, we ended up in an antique shop, and they had a lot of the props from the TV show.
Stop.
I have one of the dolls.
Oh. No. Oh,
okay, I don't want to know about that.
I have one of the dolls that he had.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, nope.
Awesome.
Don't bring it around. I'm glad you didn't bring it today.
And it was considered that it was, I don't know if it was actually inside, but the way they portrayed it, that it was part of the LaLaurie Mansion.
Did you specifically not watch it because you were worried about stereotypes, or you just didn't watch it?
Well, I saw the previews and it looked a little scary.
I love that.
Wait, do you not like scary movies?
I like to pretend that I'm brave enough that I could watch one with the lights on in the middle of the day. I'm trying to watch Hereditary, and there's never the right time.
No, same.
Yeah.
No.
The preview scared me. So, yeah, I'm not really big on scary. Like, if it's paranormal and it could really happen, I'm really, no.
No, I can't do that either. I could do Coven because it wasn't as scary as I think that they set it out to get the intro and everything. But, no, I can't do anything paranormal.
I love
Walking
Dead,
I'm surprised I'm sitting next to you today.
Oh, I love zombies. Oh, my gosh. Just give me a zombie. I'm like Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers. I'm obsessed with zombies. I don't know if that lands, but I'm just not in the way she is. Like, she's attracted to zombies, but yeah. I love them.
Yes. I could see the draw to zombies and vampires. And well, when you mentioned that about the LaLaurie
Mansion.
Yeah. Because there is a curse around that building.
Supposedly.
Do you know the Nick Cage story?
I'm aware of the Nick Cage story, but that one I kind of blow off. I'm more focused on I believe they said he was a sultan or the imposter sultan.
Oh, yes.
One of the things that happened shortly after LaLaurie had been gone, a sultan they thought he was a sultan or something along those lines. He came in, bought this huge mansion, would throw these lavish parties, and women began to disappear.
Oh. I was going to say, this sounds a lot like Aladdin until you got to that part.
Well, there's so many stories around that mansion. So, and I think there's been multiple owners and all have had something
some form of an issue or something going wrong with the building itself to the point of... You know, we didn't know it was going to cost this much to fix these things, and all of a sudden, it's a constant turnaround. Wow.
So the Nick Cage legend is that once he bought this house because he wanted to write the great American horror novel, and that's supposedly after he bought this house and was there, his career started going downhill. And he was like filing for bankruptcy. It was just this whole mess. So somebody had told him, you have to pay homage to the voodoo queen.
Is this real?
Yeah. About 10 feet from Marie Laveau's expected grave. It's well documented that she was moved around so that she wasn't stolen, basically.
Yeah.
But about 10 feet from there is this really ornate pyramid in the middle of the cemetery, and that is Nick Cage's. It's definitely taller than I am. Wow. And
I didn't know this.
It's probably about the width
of
this.
I figured you would know it, because you know everything about every burial spot in the world, I feel like.
I guess. Well, Nick Cage, and didn't know.
And then the thing about that was cemeteries in New Orleans, and you can correct me if I'm, but you don't just, they the plots go, you don't just get rid of plots. Like, they go to the next family member. They stay in families for generations. You can't just, like, sell off a plot. Yeah. So he kind of did some backhanded stuff to get this huge spot.
Oh, in the most famous cemetery in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where Marie Laveau is, among other famous people.
He thought that would lift the curse. Mm. Can curses be lifted? Is this...
I mean, people do different kinds of cleanses that can help lift a curse.
Yeah.
Egg cleanses are popular.
Egg cleanses?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Across different cultures, they have an egg cleanse, and you will take an egg and rub it all over your body, and it's supposed to attract the negative energy, and then you can crack it into a glass of water and see what kinds of attachments there are according to how the strings fall.
Oh.
I don't know how to do it, but...
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have people that ever come to you that say that they feel like they're cursed and they want you to help them?
I've never had anyone, no.
I just wonder...
I did help my friend do a cord cutting, though, for her ex-husband.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to look into that. I have a list going. So I know this is a busy time of year, but what are some of the things that you are all doing for Halloween? And are there any specific activities or anything that you want to talk about in terms of what Western New York Pagan Pride is doing? What does your Halloween night look like?
Well, my Halloween night is... I have a tradition of making chili.
I love that.
And cornbread. It's every year, it's the same thing, chili and cornbread. And I do it because my aunt had always been the one to have a great big Halloween party in her driveway. They would have a little bonfire, pass out candy, and have chili. And she passed away in 2020. So it's like a double thing. Now I can honor her by continuing to make the chili and still have chili that night. But and I do have an altar with all my ancestors, and we put a table at the end of the driveway and pass out candy and play music. And
that's great.
You know, we do traditional things, but we also do the modern stuff too.
I cook as well, because I an aunt that was pagan that, and I think chili was kind of just a coincidence, but
it's funny.
We just bought a house a couple years ago, and this past year it was so nice out, we got mobbed with trick-or-treaters on Halloween. So I bought extra candy this year, and I also bought extra snacks for the teenagers. So if you're listening, I like when the teenagers come to my house trick-or-treating, because I think it's cool that they're still doing it. So I bought them special snacks, and we're just gonna kind of hang out on the porch.
Justice for the teenagers.
I know. I would fun. Right? Like, what's so bad about that?
You're not out causing trouble.
Better that than a lot of other things.
Right. Yes, exactly. Glenn, what does your Halloween night look like?
Halloween night is probably going to be home with a bag of candy for myself and the lights off. And you want to talk pop culture, the new episode of Welcome to Derry is coming out. It's a special Halloween episode. And after the first episode, I will be in front of my television watching that.
Okay.
But I'll be hitting like home haunts and things like that throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wait. Home haunts? So are you like helping people?
No. Home haunts. Like, for instance, if you decided you wanted to turn your garage into a haunted house.
Okay.
It's considered a home haunt. Like, you have your professional haunts, which would be your scare parks, your actual like known haunted house. Fright World is a scare park.
Okay.
You know, but the one down on Davy Street is a home haunt, but sometimes those are just as fun.
I love that. I didn't know there was like a circuit for that.
Yeah, there's a handful. There's a good handful of them throughout Western New York.
Oh, I love that.
Oh. Have to look into that. SJ, what about you?
My Halloween is always pretty chill. We also just moved to, we moved back to Western New York a few years ago, and we bought our first home, and we thought this is going to be great. My husband went out to be like the Halloween champion, bought all full-size candy bars for trick-or-treaters.
What? I'm coming to Hamburg.
We've never had a trick-or-treater.
What?
Not a single one. So it's usually me eating full-size candy bars, watching scary movies. And that's probably the way it's going to work out this time. I mean, beyond watching scary movies or watching Halloween specials, I I had not this year, but in years past, I have gone to like a medium or like to like a, when I was living in New York, I went to like a spiritualist sort of gathering, and, you know, met with a medium just because I was having like a lot of like dreams with deceased loved ones and just kind of wanted to see like, hey, what's this about? And that's something I'd like to do more of in the future.
Yes, I would be interested in that too.
And if you don't know, Lilydale.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, what?
Lilydale. Do you want to tell more?
I was just mentioning because she said that she liked to go to mediums and things like that.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Lilydale. If you didn't know, Lilydale is not far from here. From Hamburg, it's probably, half an hour?
Yeah, just probably a little bit.
Just beyond Fredonia.
Yeah.
And it is a spiritualist community. Nothing but spiritualists live there. You have to be part of the community to even own a house or live there. Mm-hmm. And they have a sister location in Florida.
Oh, I didn't know
called
that.
Called Casadega.
I didn't know that there was a sister location.
I need a trip to Lilydale.
I've never been.
Me neither.
It's so peaceful.
Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. I would love to go to Lilydale. Just the history of it, the vibes.
It's open year-round. During the summer, though, it's a gate fee admission.
Mm-hmm.
But during the summer, they also do services at the stump, which is the medium that stands near the big old stump in the woods to give messages, and they do services in the auditorium.
Yeah.
Things like that all as part of the gate fee.
Field trip to Lilydale.
Yes, I think so.
So, SJ, do you want to? This cat is in SJ's office.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder, Glenn, does this cat like say anything to you or give you any feelings or?
So, can you hold it up so we can?
So basically, what you're referring to, asking what the connection to the cat would be a lot of what they consider psychometry.
Oh, okay.
Which is the actual touching and holding the objects to see what you can get off of them.
He's going to say nothing. You're just a freak show, SJ.
No, but I got a prankster.
Okay.
What?
You did?
I got somebody that likes to play pranks on you.
Okay.
Has this moved?
Yes.
Yeah,
it moves all the time in my office.
Yeah, because that's what I get, that you have people around you that are pranking you.
Yes, that's what the last medium I saw, they said, you're surrounded by the dead, why are you even here? That's what she said to me. She said, you're surrounded by the dead, why are you even here?
What she said?
Yeah, she's like, you know it, they come to you in your dreams. And I was like, oh my, and that was, I was like, okay.
Watch for the one that knocks in your kitchen, though.
Oh, I don't have anything in my kitchen.
No. No,
you do.
He's there.
But not.
I'm hearing
you
it.
You thought it was mice.
So I'm hearing it. No, I'm hearing it in an upper cupboard. Like
I'm
an eye level
chills,
cupboard.
But I'm not. I'll listen more closely. I'm
along the lines with the prankster.
That's wild.
We didn't even tell him what the cat was doing.
You didn't even tell me there was a cat.
Yeah, this cat, for anybody listening, it's like a tiny, what is that, like maybe 2 inches high. It's a little figurine. It's a calico cat that's holding a heart balloon with glasses in the shape of hearts. It's from my husband because we love calico cats.
But for some reason, he just wants to laugh at you over that.
Yes. Well, so I brought him in my office, and I put him on my radio, and my radio is in my window, and he's facing me, but when I come into my office, he's facing a window, like, regularly.
Glenn's laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always turning
and
around.
And I've taken
like,
pictures of him, and I even said, Bentley walked in one day, and I'm, like, fiddling with this, and she's like, hey, I'm like, my office is haunted, and it's in the cat, and she's like, what? And I was like, it keeps moving.
It's just a friendly prank.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with it. That's why I brought him in my pocket. I was like, this is my friend.
Oh, boy. If you all didn't think we were crazy before. That wraps up today's episode of Group Chat. For now, if you want to continue the conversation, make sure you follow us on Instagram at BTPMNPR. Also, check us out on the video podcast of Buffalo Toronto Public Media's YouTube channel. I'd love to thank my guests. This was such a great experience. Glenn White, Gretchen Squire, and SJ Velasquez. Thanks for hanging out with us. Happy Halloween. We are at the Great Pumpkin Farm in Clarence. I'm your host, Bentley. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.